But they have like still have like it's just not public.
Okay, should we get started? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Bismillah. Bismillah wa alhamdulillah. As-salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. So I thought what might be nice, as we've gone through now two-thirds of Ramadan, and I know for some of you it's your first Ramadan, for some it's your first Ramadan here, for some you're still looking into Islam and trying to, you know, think out. Take a couple of minutes. I know people interview each other. How's it been so far? What are some of the things that have been kind of easy, kind of wrestling with? For those whose it's first time in the space, before Ramadan, we had started Islam 101 class that was focused on people who were exploring Islam as a religion, new Muslims, as well as people who were born into Islam, to be able to just kind of reconnect with foundations of the religion. So we've been continuing it through the month on Wednesdays here. If you're looking for Dr. Marwa's halakha, she's out this week and next week. Upstairs, where our main halakha is, we're doing a presentation with Pillars of Peace, which is a domestic violence agency that members of our community started a couple of years ago. You're more than welcome, you know, if you thought that was this, to go there, but you're also more than welcome to stay here. Is that what you thought? Yeah, go ahead. Look at that. See? Yeah. But if people want to take a quick minute and you want to turn to the people around you, ideally in pairs, right? I know some of us know more than just a couple of us, but just so everybody gets a chance to talk, how's it been so far, right? And not to compel yourself to say what you feel like you're supposed to be saying, but just with an air of vulnerability. There's people in the room who it's their first experience with Ramadan ever. And for some of us, we've had many experiences with Ramadan, but to break sometimes the monotony of it, or sometimes the intimidation, vulnerability is really important. We can talk about both what's been helpful as well as what's been a struggle. What are things that, you know, you've taken away that have been a benefit? What are things that you didn't think would have been so hard that might be hard, or, you know, what you're expecting of the kind of rest of the month? We can take a couple of minutes just to talk to each other about that, and then we'll come back and discuss. Yeah, go ahead. And Maya, I'll take the Shahada in the same day. And they're stuck with all these people who have been Muslim for longer than them. Even if they have only been Muslim for a month or a year, they've been Muslim for minutes. They're saying, what do we do in these last 10 nights? I don't know a lot of Quran. My family is not Muslim. I don't have anybody to pray with. I can't come in the middle of the night to places where people don't even speak the same language as I do. So part of what you can do in the midst of all of this is in these nights you can do some reflection. You can sit and you can contemplate on things. You can take from the blessing of the gathering you've experienced, even if you're alone or you're surrounded by people. You can do something that most people don't do throughout the course of their day, which is just take a pause and try to think about whatever it is that your heart is calling you to contemplate upon. What is important to me? Why? There's a guy that I met today who said he wants to take his shahada in the next week, and he's trying to figure out what certain theologies mean to him, and Islam resonates in certain ways. He's very scientifically minded. And I said, empirical understandings of things are not necessarily the only way our religion makes sense, because science can give you a good opportunity of understanding the how and the what, but doesn't answer the question of why so much. So somebody can explain to you how your body works inwardly, can explain like what is going on there, but why? Why were you made in the diversity that you were made? Why is nature exist in the way that it does? Why does this thing of fasting yield this thing of consciousness? Why do I get angry by the things I get angry by? Why do I get agitated by the things I get agitated by? A moment of rest and reflection is a big part of a spiritual tradition within Islam. And these mechanics, these rituals, these practices, they don't really go to the depth of what they could if you don't take time outside of them to be able to just engage in that moment of reflection. Does that make sense? What I'd like you to do is just take a few minutes now, turn to the person next to you. What are you taking away from this? What are some of the things that it's bringing up for you? How does it play out in your life? This concept of reflection, contemplation, and then we'll come back and discuss. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Things you're discussing. Yeah, who wants to start? Anybody? Yeah.
We kind of talked about how we're all kind of reflecting on the last 10 nights, thinking about like Ramadan has been so beautiful for us in various ways, like how to keep that energy going and incorporate Islam in our lives and not just go back to like the hustle and bustle of life.
Yeah, and next Wednesday when we meet, which will be on the last night of Ramadan, we'll talk about some of that in more detail. People can bring their ideas and stuff, right? But it's not the idea isn't that Ramadan is meant to be like an escape, you know, but it's still just a part of a broader journey. You can take lessons from it. And this thing of deliberate reflection is going to be an important way of doing that. What else? Yeah.
So we were just talking about, well, for me, it's like I reverted, I guess, like two Ramadans ago. And I feel like the past 3 years have been very heavy about like what you're talking about like the practice, the mechanics, kind of trying to do things the right way. And I think that this Ramadan, I feel like I've been having to understand that my value system is actually changing and being called in question because of behaviors or mistakes or choices I've made that I feel like even something like 2 months before Ramadan, I would have been able to kind of just stuff away and really like not think about it, busy myself, lie to myself, lie to other people about it. And then actually during this month, like all of it, I feel like open for me because of that reflection. And I'm like, oh, it's not just about, you know, learning to pray or these things. It's like, what do you do with your like belief system when it's changing?
And how does that feel for you as you came into that realization?
Yeah. Sorry.
It's okay.
Hard. Mm-hmm. And like shameful.
But look, we're here for you. We're here with you. You're our sister, and anything you need, you let us know. And at any point in time, I can be helpful. You want to talk about anything, let me know. We can figure that out.
Okay, thank you. Sorry.
Other thoughts? Yeah.
Okay, so Ikura and I were talking, and I was reflecting on the fact that I was comparing myself to what I did last Ramadan. I got very proud of myself last Ramadan. This year for me is very different. It's going to be different, and I have to be able to fulfill the things I want to see. So I had to stop doing it. I kind of just focus on what I'm doing now and what I have going on now. What I have, and it made me think, you know, 3 things I wanted to stop doing, and I have. And it made me keep being the moment and not think about last year, really focus on what I'm doing right now. So, yeah.
Amazing. Anyone else? How do you reflect? Or how does one do that? If you had to give practical steps, right? My 7-year-old walked in here old and they said, Baba, how does one reflect? What would we answer that? What would the answer be? Because reflection is not the same as rumination, right? Reflection is also not self-deprecation, right? Those are tools of shaitan. Reflection is meant to be a spiritual exercise, so it brings you to a place of benefit. It's not meant to push you down, right? So how do you do that? Yeah.
I think in the most ambiguous terms, just asking yourself what's working, what's not working. And again, it's not such a mechanical thing of like, am I praying, am I not praying? But it's like, if you're not praying, it's like, why am I unable to bring myself to do it? Asking yourself those two binary questions is where you can start.
Okay, so principally, like, one mode of reflection is by asking questions, but then answering the questions, right? And they can be on anything, you know, right? Like, how is the sunrise so beautiful, right? What kind of God must it be that can paint a sky in these colors? What must a tree in Jannah look like if a tree out here with these pink flowers is so exquisite? Do you get what I'm saying? Right? It's not, and you don't want to have a negative cognitive bias that most people have, that your reflection is then just self-deprecation. It's not contemplation, it's rumination, right? Rumination, like if you were to look at it etymologically in English, it refers to kind of a process through which like cows chew cud, right? They're just constantly, if you've ever seen a cow eat something, it's just like moving his jaw again and again and again and again. That's what rumination is, just wrestling with a thought again and again and again, right? We're talking about something that is uplifting, not something that's gonna break you down. Do you get what I mean? The how-tos of that can be done in practical ways. One, you sit and I say, go be still. We did this with a class that I teach in our public policy school in leadership just like a few hours ago. They were engaged in a meditation in the class. It's a leadership class. And then after the fact, like they sat now for a longer period of time in just stillness. And then we said, how was it? And one of the kids said, it was so hard for me to not reach for my phone, right? And they were just being honest. Like it was very difficult for me to not reach for like a piece of technology, to just be at peace with stillness. So what happens is that you don't reflect on a vacuum, you have to reflect upon something, right? So what is the thing that you are reflecting on? And that could be like so many different things, but those questions are a part of it. What are like other how-tos that go into this? And if you don't do this yourself, that's fine, but you wanna just think within yourself, like it's okay, how do I come to a place that it becomes a regular habit? Just as people trickle in, this is like a Islam 101 session, which you're more than welcome to stay, but people are looking for the pillars of peace session that's upstairs on the fifth floor, and that's where we also do iftar. So we're gonna move from here in like 10 minutes to go up there, but no obligation to stay here if you know you're looking for the other things, but feel free to stay with us also. Right, so the how-tos, right? Not theoretically. Like if you do this as a regular practice, great. If you don't, just conjecture, what would be necessary for me to be able to? The same way when we've talked about prayer at an intro level, we talked about wudu and how you do it, right? Like what do you need to be able to reflect peacefully? Not in like an agitated way. Even if the things that are coming up are agitating, like what do you need that will create that ambiance? The story of the companion that I told you, he goes home at the end of the day before he's gonna go to rest, to go to sleep, and this is where he creates a moment of reflection. How do you create a moment of reflection in a city that's as kind of movement-oriented as New York City? Yeah.
Isolate oneself from all distractions.
Yeah, isolate oneself from distractions. This is what we talked about last week. We talked about the seclusion in the mosque that is in Ramadan, the etikaf, the purposeful spiritual retreat the Prophet Muhammad would do, peace and blessings be upon him, right? It wasn't about being away from people, it was about being away from distractions. You know what I mean? So when I'm like praying with friends of mine, when I had roommates before I got married, and we were watching the NBA finals and the time to pray came, and one of my friends was like really into the game, and I was like, hey man, we gotta pray. And he said, yeah, you know, we do, you're right. And he just muted the TV. And the direction for prayer in my apartment, like, faces the TV. And I was like, oh, like, he's like, no, it's fine. And I'm like, no, man, it's not, it's definitely not fine, right? But this is why we have narrations in our tradition that say, there's no prayer if a meal is served. Doesn't mean you don't pray and it's time, but you're gonna be thinking about the food, right? When these guys, our volunteers are amazing here. You know, one of the nights we were doing the pre-iftar like discussion, and 45 minutes before our fast was breaking, they gave people dates. And I was like, man, you're like torturing people. You gave them a piece of food to stare at in their hands that they can't eat for another 45 minutes, and there's no place for them to put it. It's a date. What can you do with it? You can put it in your pocket, right? You're not gonna put it on the ground. So, you know, the distraction is built in. Do you get what I mean? So how do you remove the distractions so that the exercise is actually something that can yield what it can when the distractions are away, right? Other things that I would recommend, sometimes find a buddy to reflect with. So I could sit down and we could talk to each other and we're engaged in an understanding. We have a prophetic tradition that says that you're mirrors to one another, right? Your brothers and sisters, you're mirrors to each other. Do you know what I mean? That you can reflect back and forth in a meaningful way in that sense. Writing things down is really great because the state that we're in sometimes has us remember the past through the state that we're currently in. And if I wrote something down today, a month from now, it creates for me something that I can have a more truer recognition of where I'm at. And if a month from now, God forbid, my father's really sick and I'm really disoriented, I'm not gonna remember a month ago the same way in that state as if I had something actually concrete in front of me that I could say, oh, this is where I was. And I have to be true to it and honest to it and vulnerable with it. Do you get what I mean? This is why I also recommend writing down your prayers, like your du'as, because you can also see a growth through your du'a reflectively on both what you find valuable in your life, but who you think God is through the nature of what you're actually asking of him, right? And what's the trajectory there in terms of like my starting points to later on in life, and how does like agitation come in, and when the world is heavy or people are unkind or I'm not so kind to myself, what am I making du'a for in those days versus on maybe I'm not even making it because I feel like I'm not deserving to make it, right? It's all problematic thoughts that jump in, that reflection can be a very key mechanism of healing for it. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense? Your overall wellness is going to be really important too. And reflection can be a yield to be able to understand that I'm not taking care of myself, right? Outside of moments of defined ritual, you still exist. But all of it is just as simple as 5 minutes a day, maybe 10 minutes every week, a few times. And what Ramadan is bringing people towards is break out of the kind of chaotic movement and find some stillness. And you're gonna find like not just millions, you're talking about hundreds of millions of adult Muslims in the next week are going to be perpetually drawn to moments of reflection. And if they just said, this is what's happening, then they wouldn't let go of that for anything as a regular practice. But the conscious awareness of it is what's really important. Do you get what I mean? Okay, I want us to take a pause here. People want to head up to the room upstairs on the fifth floor. We're going to be making Maghrib there. Our sunset prayer, we're gonna also break fast there. Some of the things you could do, even embedded in like your daily prayers, is at the end of it, you just sit, you find stillness, and that's where you're reflecting, right? We have what's remembrances, litanies that we engage in as Muslims, and people will tell you at the end of a prayer, for example, you're new to Islam, they're gonna say, sit down and say, Subhanallah, glory be to God, Alhamdulillah. Praise God, Allahu Akbar, proclaim God's greatness, but not tell you why, right? So it's not just you rotely regurgitate it on the digits of your finger. You sit down and you attach some meaning to it in your reflection. Why am I glorifying God today? Why am I praising God? What's the kind of reason for it, right? What are the things that I can engage in just a few minutes built into this process of prayer, that the prayer itself is not the moment to reflect? You can't be praying, right? Bilal's leading us in prayer. It's not the time to be like, hey, I really wonder, like, you know, why is the sky blue, right? You know, like, does God really like me? Do I really like God? That guy's socks are really strange looking. He's got a hole in his toe. Why is he tickling me with his pinky? Like, that's not the time to reflect. The prayer is the mechanism that helps resolve clutter inwardly, that creates the moment for reflection. You're laughing really hard. Does that happen to you? Somebody tickles your toes while you're praying? It's like all the time, right? Like, man, stop playing footsie with me while I'm praying, bro. You know? But do you get what I'm saying? And creating paradigm shifts, that the ritual is actually yielding what it's meant to, and then after the fact, you've now centered yourself through this. You don't want to get up and run to food or get up and run to talk to somebody else. Use that moment to talk to God. Use that moment to recognize what's going on inwardly. You see what I mean? Does that make sense? Okay. So we're going to pause here. People want to head up. That'd be great. We will have this session at 6 next Wednesday also. And then I don't know if the week after we'll move back to 7 or not, but we'll announcement once Ramadan is done. But we'll continue after. And once Ramadan is done, we'll move into discussions on prayer, right? Because we've talked about wudu, like our ritual washing. You still keep coming, you know, whether you're still exploring Islam, you've made the decision to, mashallah, convert, you are still trying to figure out what it means, if you're born into it, you can definitely come. But every Wednesday, we'll continue still. with this and kind of explore it in the ways that we've been doing this, rather than me just throwing at you, here's a list of things to memorize, for us to build a relationship with these things conceptually, right? These last 10 nights of Ramadan, as you engage in prayer and listening to the Quran and all of this, engage in some moments of reflection. Just find some places of stillness, right? Be in a place where you take in the quietude, you're comfortable with it, and you allow for yourself to just contemplate on certain things. If things rise up that you don't know what to do with, you don't have to name them in that moment. You can get to a place where you're back at homeostasis and then think about, what did those feelings mean to me, right? You don't want to be drowning and then try to name something while you're drowning. But once you get back to a place where you can breathe, then you think about it in a more level state. And if we can help in any way, I'm happy to sit with you, talk, listen, whatever it is, let me know. How do we give continuity to some of what we gain from Ramadan, especially like if you're a convert, you go from this place where it's Muslims on steroids for a month and everybody's hanging out together, and then they all go back to places and it's like, well, what happens to me? I don't have Muslims in my family, right? I don't have people that I can go back in my home and pray with. You know, it's not as easy as that. And it's a necessary conversation for all of us to understand as a community, so we don't leave people hanging after 30 minutes and then it's just kind of left behind. Do you see what I mean? Okay, so we'll do that. There's a sister who's gonna take her Shahada here, right? Yeah, so if people wanna stick around for that, feel free. I'm just gonna turn off some of these things. You can also just start heading up to get to the fifth floor for Maghrib and getting situated there. But if you wanna stay, we'll do that, and then we'll head up, inshallah. Okay, assalamu alaikum, zakallah khair.
Call it a few.